Good morning. Malcolm Graham Wood here. It's another CEO interview, and I'm absolutely delighted that Tony Durrant, the CEO of Premier Oil, has come in to have a chat with us. And thank you very much for coming in, Tony.
It's a pleasure, Malcolm. Good to see you.
And you. Tony was appointed CEO of Premier Oil in June of this year, so it's been a baptism of fire, you might say. And we'll come back to asking him sort of whether he thought it was going to be anything like this later on. But what I always try and do here is give the viewers, particularly the people who don't know the business that well,
sure,
an opportunity to say, if you could just sort of give us a high-level overview of Premier.
Sure.
And then we'll sort of tap into some of the sort of the detail.
No problem. So in our sector, across the exploration and production spectrum, we are at the production and development end of the spectrum. That's to say we produce around 65,000 barrels a day today, and we reinvest the cash flow from that production into new development projects. We have quite a pipeline of new development projects around the world. And we top up the pipeline of projects with an exploration program, success from that exploration program, and also the occasional acquisition when the market conditions are right. Essentially, our production comes from the North Sea and from Southeast Asia. Premier's been very well established in both regions for many years now. And we have ongoing development activities in both those regions. We've also gone into the Falkland Islands. We have a development project in the Falklands. We also have a very interesting exploration program kicking off in the Falklands early next year, which our explorers are very much looking forward to.
That's good. I mean, I think they maybe roughly balance out where the production's coming from and, you know, in those areas.
Sure. About 25,000 barrels a day from the UK North Sea, 20,000 barrels a day from Vietnam. We have about 15,000 barrels a day from Indonesia. But we send all our gas in Indonesia down a 600-kilometre pipeline into Singapore. So we're actually the largest equity provider of gas to the Singapore gas market, which is actually very good news because I think the Singapore gas market is probably the strongest gas market in the world. So that's a very good long-term position for Premier. We also have some production in Pakistan, which perhaps despite what the viewers might think at first glance, has actually been very stable, strong cash flow from Pakistan for many years.
Good. So that production stays the same for another couple of years, doesn't it? And then you start to get catcher on stream and so on. So we would expect to see, you know, we'll go through it, but the catcher replacing some of the Pakistan numbers and its higher value from catcher as well. So maybe you could talk about catcher and the developments. I know you've got, you know, Solan and catcher and
right,
so on, Sea Lion and Bream. So maybe sort of tick them off one at a time and sort
sure
of talk us through them.
So we've had a number of smaller fields come on stream this year, a couple in Indonesia, Vietnam, a small one in Pakistan. But the bigger fields coming on stream that will contribute to longer term growth in our portfolio, Solan, as you mentioned, which is a field west of Shetlands, and that's the facilities have been installed. We're currently going through the hookup and commissioning phase, and that should be on stream sometime in the first quarter of next year. That will add about 15,000 barrels a day net to Premier once it's fully up and running. And then, as you say, the catcher field. The catcher field's quite important to us. It's one of the larger fields that's been discovered and is now being developed in the UK North Sea. We have 50% of that. We're the operator. That's already underway. Some of the facilities are now entering the construction phase in Asia. And we should have that on stream in 2017 in the UK. And I should probably mention that we have accumulated tax losses in the UK from previous acquisitions. Up to $3 billion, actually, which means that every barrel we bring on stream in the UK is very valuable to us. Then next on the docket, as it were, is the Bream field in Norway. We should be going for sanction with the Norwegian government sometime in the middle of next year. And then the Sea Lion project in the Falklands, I referred to earlier. That should be on stream sometime in 2019. So the model is really, as I mentioned, cash flow from producing assets reinvested in good quality projects to give us future growth.
Now, that sounds good. It would be nice to spend a little bit more time on Sea Lion, I guess, because the way that things have changed a bit in the tension leg, then FPSO and so on. Yep. And, you know, you've moved around the position on Sea Lion to take account of what's going on in the marketplace, I guess. And
that's right. We have, with our partners, discovered about 400 million barrels of oil in the Falklands. It will be the first oil in a new basin. There is some exciting exploration still to come. We're still at the very early stages, really, of trying to exploit the North Falklands Basin. The question really is how best to phase that the exploitation of the reserves that have been discovered already. We had a look at a bigger project, the TLP project that you refer to. CapEx about $5 billion, so a very substantial project by any standards, really, but certainly by the standards of an independent like ourselves. Given what's happened on oil prices, given that it is the first field in a new basin, we've taken a more sort of prudent approach, and we're going forward with a lower CapEx project. It will access about 60% of the reserves for only about 40% of the cost. So it's a very good, high-quality return project. The amount of CapEx involved, something around about $2 billion, is perhaps a little more manageable if we are going to face a lower oil price for some time.
And a few months ago, the market was sort of full of stories that you were going to farm out or you were going to get another partner into that Sea Lion development. With the lower costs and so on, you probably don't need to, but are you still keeping your eyes open? Will people be interested?
Absolutely. You're right. We don't need to. We have the financial capacity to move ahead with that first phase of Sea Lion. The exploration program will tell us more about the full resource potential of the North Falklands Basin. We're optimistic. I suspect over time we will significantly add to the resource potential reserves. So it's still on our agenda, as it were, to get another partner in for the North Falklands Basin. And we've got some people who are very interested in the geology. But we've taken this sort of pistol away from our head, as it were, by planning a first stage of the project that we can manage within our own financial capacity.
Well, that sounds great. And although you described Premier as being a primarily production and development company, you've got quite an interesting exploration program there and elsewhere. So next year, what's on the sort of on the TV screen for
you? We're in a long-term business. It's important that we keep up the exploration program to top up the list of projects for future development. First half of next year, we'll be drilling in Kenya onshore, near to where some of our peer companies have been very successful, Tullo and Africa Oil. We'll be kicking off a four-well program in the Falklands that I alluded to earlier. We've also got an interesting well coming up in Norway, where we've accumulated four or five blocks around a given play. So with success, we should have quite a large resource potential across that area as well. So quite a big program for us, which we very much like. All those prospects are sort of towards the top of our list of exploration plays, and we'll be going ahead with those, notwithstanding the drop in the oil price, because we're very encouraged about the outcome of those prospects.
That sounds good. And I mustn't forget the fact that on the developments that you've got, you operate everything, don't you? You like being the operator?
Just about. We have a preference for operating, especially during the development phase, because that gives us control over the type of development and the pace of spending. Pace of spending could indeed be important if we're going through a lower oil price spell for a while. We're not completely wedded to it. Perfectly happy to see other operators, if they're well qualified for the task, to take on specific assets. Indeed, our Witch Farm field, which has been around for a while, we reached a deal a couple of years ago with a French company called Perenco, who are excellent at onshore fields. Witch Farm is largely onshore, and they've been doing a great job at Witch Farm. So we're quite content to be non-operator, if appropriate.
Good stuff. And, you know, you say, when I was looking on the website, you say you're always on the lookout to divest non-core assets and restructure the portfolio. What's on the form there?
Yes. Well, we've divested about $200 million worth of assets this year. Actually, a couple of those are closing this week, which is good. And it's really about ensuring that we're investing our capital into the best quality projects. And if we see risks or if we see somewhat lower returns in projects, then it may be the most sensible thing to sell the asset before investing that capital. Shareholders have been very focused in our sector on returns on capital, quite rightly so. So we're kind of making sure that we're investing in only the highest return projects.
Good stuff. As I said before, you've only been the CEO for less than 6 months, I think the oil price was $112 or something when you walked in, and it's 70 or so now.
Yeah.
How have you found it so far, delivering the goods on production and so on? And
Yeah, very, very exciting, of course. Lots of operations around the world, and Premier have got some great people. In a way, we have to separate, I think, the things that we can control and the things that we can't control. Frankly, we can't control the oil price. At times, I think we can't even control share prices either. But what we can control is the deliverables we set ourselves. And that's what I'm trying to get the employees, the company to focus on. The irony, given where the oil price has gone, and of course our share price has been influenced by that as well, is that Premier's actually had a very good year operationally.
Yeah,
we've produced beyond expectations. The development projects are moving forward. We've had a bit of exploration success. We refinanced the company actually at the right time, which was before the oil price started falling. So operationally, we've had a good year. We'll set ourselves a set of targets for next year and just try and focus on getting the operational things right. And then we'll see where we are with oil price.
Yeah, I mean, my next question is almost we've sort of taken on head on most of those things. Was how is Premier affected by the oil price? You've done most of the things. You've got no RBL. You've got, you know, your debt is good quality debt, and you've just rolled it over.
Yeah. So we did a big refinancing in the early part of this year. So we have over $2 billion of unused facilities from that refinancing. Our next refinancing is not until 2018. So we're in pretty healthy shape in terms of our debt capacity and our debt structure. We're also quite low costs. We have operating cash costs of less than $20 a barrel. Sometimes I think there's some confusion out there because we are in the UK North Sea. There's a lot of talk about some of the older fields in the UK North Sea that are high cost. We're actually not in those older fields as a generality. We're concentrating on some newer fields. They have much lower cash costs per barrel. So our business can withstand actually very low oil prices if we do see further weakness for an extended period of time.
And you've managed to hedge quite a lot of this year.
We have.
Next year as well.
We have. Again, you know, sometimes in these periods of volatility, the market doesn't quite distinguish between different companies. We're one of the ones that had sold forward quite a lot of our oil for next year at good prices. So 44%, I think it is, of our oil for next year is sold forward at just under $100 a barrel. So whatever the actual price of oil next year, we're in pretty good shape for next year as well.
Good stuff. Well, we're nearly at the end. So what I like to do is to, apart from it, congratulate you from getting through and no curveballs and so on, I would like you to just sort of wrap up for a minute or two and just say, you know, the vision, now you've had a chance to get your feet under the table, you know, where do you see the company going forwards, the strategy and so on. You've told us a lot about it anyway.
Yeah.
But maybe a sort of good wrap up of...
Well, I think philosophically, as it were, independents in our sector must have a growth prospectus. They must be able to offer investors growth, because otherwise they'd probably go and just collect 5 or 6% yield from BP or Shell. And our role, therefore, is to find areas for growth. I think we have to temper that from time to time in keeping a solid balance sheet. So if some non-core disposals, for example, come along, we will do that as well. But essentially, the long term for me is finding growth areas for Premier. We are in good shape. We've got an advantage tax loss position in the UK, a great business into the Singapore gas market, and a lot of running room in the Falklands. So we've got plenty of opportunities for those growth areas, and who knows, maybe the current travails in the sector will offer up some acquisition opportunities as well.
Well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Tony, it's been great of you to come in.
Great to see you. Welcome.
At a time when it must be really, you know, you've just got your feet under the table, the oil price is crated and people are talking about things. But
had a few phone calls, yes. Yeah,
but it does look exciting, and, you know, you've got a lot of oil hedge, so you've got, you know, you're in a stronger position than a lot of people are for next year. You've got a good, exciting E&P. You know, sort of some decent prospects to look at next year. You're well financed, and so thank you very much indeed, Tony Durrant, for coming in and being one of our latest CEO targets. And that's all for the finance show. Wizard of Odds, Nigel Seeley comes up afterwards, and Malcolm Graham-Wood saying thank you very much indeed. See you next time.
I'm Nick the Moose Batsford, Commander in Chief, Tip TV. You are watching Tip TV.